Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and I've got a little frog in my throat. And I forgot to get my cup of coffee from the coffee maker. It's one of those ones you press the button and the coffee comes out. It's a Keurig. It's nothing special. But I forgot to get my cup, so here I am sitting talking to you without a coffee cup. But I'm not going to start this over again. I'm a trooper. I'm going to press on because that's how much I love you. Anyway, welcome. It is Thursday, the year of our Lord, 2020. And it is the month of April, the 30th day of. Now, the reason I tell you this is so that you would know, even though this is a recording, it's fresh. It's fresh enough to pass on the information that the jobless rate has been reported for this week. And it's only 3.84 million people. That are out of jobs in a week. That brings the total number up to 30 million. So that's about 8%-ish of the total population. Not of the working, because there were only about 140, 150 million people working in this country. So of the total population, they're saying it's around 320, 330. Personally, I'm guessing with all of the illegals and the undocumented persons living here, it's probably topping 340, 360. However, of the entire population, you now have close to 9% that are out of jobs, that previously had jobs. Of the working population, 30 million is If only 150 million were working to begin with, and 30 million of those lost their jobs, you got a 20% bump in those unemployed. Those be scary statistics. A lot scarier than a flu-like cough. I'm sorry to break the news. Personally, I think we've been had, or at least we've allowed this to go on further than it ought to have once the data started rolling in, once we began to see that the mortality rate isn't north of 10% or north of 20% or north of 50%, as some people were saying. We weren't going to see another black plague. But here we are. Again, that's the whole thing about going down this road is you can't unbreak an egg. You can't unspill milk. That bell done been rung, and here we are, and now we have to see where we go from here. The one thing that is very evident to me, the one thing that is also very disturbing to me because the average citizen doesn't seem to be seeing it, I understand. Look, we're all just transfixed with apparently Netflix and donuts, and that's for those people who don't drink. Well, alcohol sales have gone up 290-some-odd percent. People are stuck in their homes, but rather than spending their time wisely, looking at what's happening, they're burying their head in the sand and just, we're going to wait it out, man. We're going to wait it out. Well, sorry to break the news, but there are some states that apparently want this to be the new normal. You sit in your house in your dirty dungarees, you eat what you can, and if you go outside, you get fined. Now, where you get the money for the fine, nobody cares. You just get fined. But the one thing that I'm seeing from all of the aggregate data that I have accumulated from all the news clippings and reports and all this other stuff, because, you know, I'm a pretty nerdy guy when it comes to these things. When I tell you things, I want to be certain about the things I tell you. This is why when this first started back in early February, maybe even late January, I said, keep an eye on this thing. The Chinese aren't building an entire hospital in 7 days just for giggles. Now, once we started seeing data, I said, all right, be cautious. Don't go licking hospital patients on the face, but don't lock yourself in your house and wait for death either. So there needs to be a balance, and I hope that enough of you realized the need for balance, because what I'm seeing right now, and it's going to be more evident as time goes by, is that for the hope, not for the certainty, not for the assurance, but for the hope of regaining power and control, there is a certain political party that is encouraging a continued shutdown when no continued shutdown should exist, that is hoping your family starves, that is hoping you go bankrupt, that is hoping you become wholly dependent on government, that you go groveling with hat in hand, asking for a can of beans or a little cheese. And they are doing everything they can to extend the pain for as long as they can, because this is their dream. Every time these lunatics went to bed for the past dozen years dreaming of a future, this is the future they dreamt of. These are their fantasies come to life. You dependent upon them. You becoming a serf, a slave, a servant to illiterates like Maxine Waters. You groveling, asking, begging, pleading for a little something, anything, from the likes of Nancy Pelosi and her $24,000 side-by-side freezers. Because the more desperate you are, the more willing you are to debase yourself, the more willing you are to vote for them without question. It's scary because most people apparently have a very low threshold or tolerance for pain. They're already throwing their hands up in frustration. All right, I guess socialism it is. Really? That easy? That's all it took. If that's all it took for you to embrace communism, if that's all it took for you to embrace socialism, then you never deserved freedom in the first place. See, we're starting to see, you know, leaked footage of knuckle draggers in uniform abusing their power and abusing their authority, and treating law-abiding citizens like criminals for letting their kids go and play outside. Asking for your name and your birth date and things that they have no right to ask unless your lawyer is present. I've been mulling this over, and I've been thinking about it, and I might have mentioned it last week. Look, we were resting easy at the thought that, well, you know, even if they pass these laws, these draconian measures, you know, law enforcement, they're the good guys, and they're not going to enforce the measures. Maybe not all of them, but enough of them are doing it and getting off on it. They're enjoying their newfound power to control your life. They're enjoying their newfound power to tell you to shut up, go back inside, and sit in your home until we tell you otherwise. Look, if this is the norm that you want to live in for the rest of your life, you do you, as the kids like to say. Personally, I've seen it already. I know how the story ends. I know how this plays out. And I will resist this sort of tyranny with every fiber of my being. I will resist it because I know how completely it robs people of joy. I know how completely it robs people of individuality. I know how completely it robs people of purpose. It's like seeing everything in color all your life, and then everything becomes black and white in an instant. That's what socialism does to the soul. Everything is muted and dulled and hopeless and sad. They talk about equality, but it's equally miserable. And as it so happens, apparently every incompetent is coming out lambasting everything this administration does. Pierre Delecto himself. Mittens Romney, as it were, came out. America didn't look strong with Trump's coronavirus response. I love that these people armchair quarterback everything and think they could have done a better job. No, I am not a Trump apologist, but I am objective enough to look at the actions that were taken and the time frame in which the actions were taken and say, hey, this was done earlier than a lot of other countries. We stopped travel from China first week of March or something thereabouts. This president was called a racist and a xenophobe. He was called an enemy of progress. We were shutting down the border while Nancy let them eat ice cream. Pelosi was out advocating and encouraging people to go into Chinatown and enjoy the frog legs and the rats on a stick. Because diversity is our strength. And the more diverse we get, the stronger we get. Apparently not if you have an immunocompromised system. Because if you took Nancy's advice and you went and had a taste of diversity, you might have just got yourself a bug. So let's be honest. Look, there's a concerted effort right now to keep the pain at maximum for as long as humanly possible, because it's about power. It's not about the people. You don't matter to the likes of Nancy Pelosi. You don't matter to the likes of Chuck Schumer. You don't matter to the likes of Maxine Waters. You're just a number on a spreadsheet. You're just a voting block. You're just a faceless id that's supposed to facilitate Maxine Waters living in a $4 million mansion. That's all you are. And if you happen to die of starvation in your home, if you happen to watch your kids starving to death, well, that's okay. We'll just bring in illegals or the undocumented to replace you. Because we know how they're going to vote. We're certain of it. We're just going to promise them stuff. But see, well, all this is going on while the virus is the theme of the day, 2 months running now. There's other things happening in the periphery. There's other things going on both internationally and nationally that is being overlooked, that is being swept under the rug, if you will. And these are things that we should be talking about because they're important. They're important because there are too many people placing too much faith in government, thinking that government itself is sacrosanct, and it's not. There are evil, wicked, perverted people in government, man. There are people who are willing to just torpedo your life at the drop of a hat if they think it'll suit their ambitions. Now, the latest thing to come out, and I've been following this forever because I don't care how you feel about General Michael Flynn. He is an honorable man. And what was done to this honorable man is disgraceful. It's shameful. It's something that I didn't want to believe was possible in a country like this. But now, apparently, unsealed FBI documents show that agents plotted, premeditated. It didn't fall into their laps accidentally. They plotted and premeditated an attempt to pressure Michael Flynn to lie, to either prosecute him or get him fired. Do you understand what was going on the moment the elections didn't go these people's way? The moment they realized, oh my, we lost. Every lever was thrown. Every plan was put into place to torpedo this administration, to torpedo this presidency. They tried impeachment. That didn't work. And you know what? Again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by nature. If I were, I'd probably have a lot bigger platform with a lot more followers. I'd be selling you, you know, potatoes au gratin by the bucket. I'd be selling you seed farms. I'd probably be better off financially, but my soul would be a little rotted on the edges. So I'm not, by nature, a conspiracy theorist. I look at a situation objectively and analyze it. If God reveals something prophetic, that's a different thing altogether. I preface it and say, this is prophetic. But even with me not being a conspiracy theorist, the fact that the specialist everyone runs to nowadays, Dr. Fauci, is quoted back in 2017. Let this sink in. Back in 2017, Dr. Fauci was quoted as saying there will be a pandemic during Donald Trump's presidency. Now, unless he's prophetic, unless he is a man gifted with spiritual gifts, there is no way for him to have said something so absurd. Unless he knew something we didn't know. Now, at the same time, when Dr. Fauci approved funding for laboratories in, a dinky little place we now know is Wuhan, China, to do research on COVID, on coronavirus. It wasn't number 19, but you have to realize that the coronavirus has been around for a long time. It just mutates. This is the novel virus. This is the new one. This is number 19, apparently. So not only did Dr. Fauci prognosticate that within Donald Trump's first term or his presidency there would be a pandemic breakout, he funded the lab in China from where it's presumed the virus originated, had its genesis, if you will. So I don't know about you, but I'll allow for coincidence only for so long. I'll allow for coincidence, up to a certain point. After that, it's no longer coincidental. So I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not drawing any conclusions. But there's a lot of questions that nobody's asking, because apparently if you dare ask any question, you want people to die. Why do you hate grandma? You want grandma to die. Why do you hate grandma? I don't, but I thought this was a free country and we can ask questions. I mean, they say there's no such thing as a dumb question. And the questions I'm posing really aren't dumb. How come videos of doctors, of medical professionals, saying that, making everyone be a shut-in is an overreaction, and that the mortality rate is, what, 0.03% or around that range. Why has that video been scrubbed from YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else? Why is the media constantly trying to pump hysteria? Nonstop. There is a vested interest here. And if you can't see it, then I'm sorry, you are blind. Another thing that happened this week is the media breathlessly reported that meat processing plants were going to get shut down. And of course, being the sheeple that we are, everybody went into panic buying mode. And it took me two stores to find chicken tenders to make for my kids last night. No, not the frozen kind. My wife actually makes chicken tenders, you know, from scratch for the kids with, you know, egg batter and flour and a little Parmesan cheese. They're delicious. So it took a presidential declaration, a proclamation, to make sure that meat processing plants stay open, because our elected officials, people that are in governance over us, are so myopic in their thinking that they think, we got to shut it down, shut it all down. But what are people going to eat? Tofu, I guess. So if you haven't gotten a taste for tofurkey, you still have time. It's like trying to wean yourself onto something. You have to take a little bite. Make sure you swallow before you throw up. Then the next time you take two bites, it's like the guys who, you know, take a little bit of snake venom so that they build up an immunity to it. That's what you have to do with tofurkey. You can't just go out and have a giant slice because your body's going to go, I don't know what this is. I'm just going to die now. Yes, immunize yourself to tofurkey before you have to eat a full portion. Just friendly advice from your friendly neighborhood radio guy. But let's get back to Michael Flynn. I read this and it broke my heart, because if you see what happened to this man over the last 3 years, his entire life was ruined. He had to sell his home to pay for attorney fees. I mean, this man went through a meat grinder. All the while, the people that were doing the grinding knew that he was innocent. They plotted. They plotted. They premeditated a plot to pressure him to lie so that they could either get him fired or prosecuted. So we're going to get into the body text of the story because, again, some of us are still sleeping because we think that Overwatch is there. We're still slumbering because we think that our government, well, they're honest and good. Our government will see that we are cared and tended for. Our government shall be there to protect our rights. Our government shall be there to grasp us to its bosom and say, all is well, my child, all is well. Well, this is what government did to an honorable man. Federal Bureau of Investigations FBI documents unsealed on Wednesday showed that FBI agents strategized on January 24, 2017, before speaking with former National Security Advisor Lieutenant General retired Mike Flynn about getting him to admit to breaking the Logan Act or getting him to lie so that he could be prosecuted or fired. According to handwritten notes, before a planned FBI interaction with Flynn, an unidentified FBI agent wrote, what's our goal? Truth, admission, or get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired. The notes showed there was debate that getting Flynn to admit to alleged wrongdoing by showing him evidence was going easy versus prosecuting him or getting him fired. We regularly show subjects evidence with the goal of getting them to admit their wrongdoing. I don't see how getting someone to admit their wrongdoing is going easy on them, the agent added. If we get him to admit breaking the Logan Act, give facts to DOJ and have them decide, the agent wrote. Or if he initially lies, then we present him He admits it. Documents for DOJ, let them decide how to address it. Some of this stuff has been redacted, apparently. If we're seen as playing games, White House will be furious, the agent added. Protect our institution by not playing games. Ha ha. The author of handwritten notes is likely Bill Priestap, then head of FBI's counterintelligence division, according to some reports. Flynn's defense lawyer, Sidney Powell, called the notes evidence of a perjury trap, because that's what they were. What are they going to – look, you can't – they've already concluded that the man was guilty. They had already concluded that they were going to pin something on him. Remember the old saying of a Soviet saying to Stalin, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. One way or another, we're going to get you. That's exactly what happened. One way or another, they were going to torpedo the life of Michael Flynn. They were just figuring it out. How? Show me the man. There's the man. All right, let's pin a crime on him. The FBI planned it as a perjury trap at best, and in so doing, put it in writing stating, what is our goal? Truth, admission, or get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired. Powell told investigative journalist Sarah Carter in an interview. There were also three emails accompanying the handwritten notes, including one from Peter Strzok. If you don't know that name, then, you've been sheltered for the past couple years. Lead FBI agent in charge of investigation into the Trump campaign. And Lisa Page, an FBI lawyer who was an advisor to then FBI deputy director to Andrew McCabe. What they left out in this article was that Lisa Page was side piece of Peter Strzok. He, a married man, apparently was in amore with Lisa Page. So this is just incestuous, dirty, swampy, disgusting. This is government. These are people that live off the taxpayer dole, framing honest people at a whim. And you know what? Everyone's done it, so I'm not going to do it. Oh, it's not all FBI and it's not all police. You know, there's bad apples in every bunch, blah, blah, blah. You already know this. But the fact that this exists should infuriate you. The fact that there are people like that still earning a paycheck, still getting paid by government, still getting paid by your tax dollars to destroy human lives for the sake of political capital or political expediency should infuriate you. Or maybe you're just comfortable living in a quasi-dictatorship. Maybe you're just comfortable, you know, keeping your head low, not saying much, not getting out of line, going along to get along. But the only problem with that is eventually it'll be your turn under the gun. These people won't stop. They will not stop until everyone is uniform. They will not stop until everyone is out in the middle of the street with a rainbow flag celebrating the transition of a six-year-old boy into a six-year-old girl. See, if one good thing came out of all of this just lunacy, it's the fact that we're not seeing nearly as many articles talking about transitioning six-year-olds or I'm a brave mama because my body's a brandy now. Because there's nothing like hunger to make stupid run out of you. Not so many, are there? It's not being pushed anymore, is it? But the moment we open back up, guess what? Cases are going to spike again. Apparently when little Bobby's tummy was rumbling, he didn't feel like a girl. That's why, look, I said it before, and I was lambasted for it. It's not as though judgment is undeserved. any judgment, however severe, that will come upon this land is deserved. And even now, in the midst of this, there are people doing as Israel did when God decided to destroy him. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain with the laws written on tablets, and they were down in the valley worshiping an idol and fornicating? When God sent his judgment, there were many that instead of repenting, just shook their fist at him and rebelled even more. This is what's happening in some states. We have shut down churches. We have outlawed the gathering of people who pray. But we've kept abortion clinics open. We've kept liquor stores open. And we've kept weed dispensaries open. Tell me how that makes sense. If you don't see a well-defined agenda taking shape, taking place, materializing as if out of thin air, then you're fooling yourself. In one of the emails, Stroke gave then FBI General Counsel Peter Baker a list of questions that Flynn could ask, like then FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, during a planned phone call that the Deputy Director should be aware that Flynn could ask him. Stroke listed one possible scenario where Flynn says, "I can explain all this right now. I did this, this, this." Stroke wrote, "Do you shut him down? Hear him out? Conduct the interview if he starts talking? Do you want another agent witness standing by in case he starts doing this?" So they had all this planned out. They would not allow for a reasonable explanation. They've already concluded from the beginning that either they were going to get him fired or get him prosecuted. Turned out to be both. In another email, Page asked someone in the FBI General Counsel's office, "At what point during an FBI interview should an interviewing agent remind the subject that lying to a federal investigator is a crime?" This is what paper pushers do. This is what bureaucrats do. This is why bureaucracy infuriates me. This is why seeing a bloated government should make none of you happy. This is why, while people are huddled in their homes wondering what they're going to feed their kids, government employees are cheering on the lockdown. "Oh, we can do this forever." Do you know why? Because they are still getting paid. I know. No layoffs in government. No furloughs in government. No firings in government, no pink slips in government, no missed checks in government, no waiting for unemployment in government. Bloated bureaucrats who would dictate to you and see you go to jail for letting your kid go outside and draw on a sidewalk with chalk haven't missed anything. Life is normal to them. So why would they want to hasten the opening up of the economy? They don't miss the traffic every morning, that's for sure. Look at this. There's nobody on the highway. This is awesome. I stop at McDonald's. I get a free sandwich because I'm, you know, essential. I'm a hero. Now let's see whose life we can destroy next. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Is it you tomorrow? So this is what government does, kids. Just in case you thought you were safe, you are not. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to break the news, but you are not safe. And look, I wrote an article this morning that I published on my blog, and I want to read it to you because it contextualizes what the mayor of New York did a few days ago, one de Blasio. If the man is a communist. Do you understand this? New York City elected a communist as its mayor, so I don't feel sorry for you because you went and you voted. But, wow, he broke up a Jewish funeral and threatened them with arrest. I mean, this power madness is insane. And the more we allow it to go on without saying anything or doing anything, the more egregious it's going to get. Costco has just announced that starting the first week of May or something, you're supposed to wear a mask every time you go to the store. You know what? I'm not shopping at Costco anymore. Sorry, not going to do it. Why? Because I think it's some sort of throwback to the 1940s? No. The reason I'm not doing it, it's because I don't want to validate the narrative. I guarantee you, the more people outside with masks and gloves, the more the media will be able to pump the hysteria. Remember those videos of cataclysmic flooding? Where reporters were in canoes and boats, and then you saw a guy walking by and the water was just ankle deep. It's the same kind of nonsense. It's the same kind of lunacy that's being perpetrated upon a populace that's just not thinking for itself anymore. So the reason that I will not be wearing a mask or protective gear isn't because it's a sign of subjugation or because anything of that nature. I refuse to give credence to the presupposition that data has already disproven. The mortality rate for this is not high enough to justify this. That's all you have to conclude. The mortality rate is not high enough to justify me looking like a spaceman every time I go to buy some beans. And you mandating it, well, that's not going to fly with me. Look, just as I refuse to call a biological male Jenny, even though his name is Bob, I refuse to put on a muzzle and mittens to go outside. I will not feed the delusion. Whether it's one person's delusion or a general one brought on by mass hysteria, I refuse to participate in feeding the delusion. Now, as a private corporation, stores, businesses can demand whatever they wish of their potential customers. But as a private citizen, refuse to do business with any corporation or business that requires unreasonable things of me. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop shopping at this big box store. I'll pay a few cents more for whatever I need somewhere else, and if need be, even drive across state lines. Because I will not participate in this lunacy. And I'm going to read this last paragraph of the article because it's an important point, and it's one that we need to take to heart. If acts of defiance are not forthcoming, it will be interpreted as acquiescence. If the foolishness they're proposing is deemed as palatable, then this will become the new normal. And nevermore will you be able to go outside without a piece of cloth over your face and fear in your eyes. It has become about control. Period. The numbers aren't proving out that this is a measured response. The numbers aren't proving out that shut-ins or lockdowns or whatever you want to call it are even working. So, Bill de Blasio, flexing his totalitarian muscle, threatened a Jewish community over a funeral they were having. He said he was going to lock them all up. Now, I guarantee you, if it was a homosexual parade, he would have been less likely to do so. But see, he believes that people that believe in God are inferior and therefore they can be controlled. I wonder where he got that from. See, we refuse to study history at our own peril. This is how the story began. Mayor Bill de Blasio promised to arrest Jewish mourners not adhering to social distancing decrees following Tuesday's funeral for Rabbi Chaim Mertz in New York City. De Blasio took to Twitter, of course he did, with the threat of a zero-tolerance approach against violations of the city's social distancing directives, ostensibly as responsive measures to the coronavirus outbreak. Never mind that the subway's still working. There are dozens of people crammed into a metal tube. No. That does not violate the city's social distancing directives. Going to an open-air funeral does. Something absolutely unacceptable happened in Williamsburg tonight. A large funeral gathering in the middle of this pandemic. When I heard, I went there myself to ensure the crowd was dispersed. And what I saw will not be tolerated. Say, what? Who are you to tolerate anything? These mourners were not breaking the law. I'm sorry, the directives are not law. At best, they're suggestions that can be enforced by overzealous law enforcement. I hope that when all this is over, every single person that was harassed by police, every mother that was arrested, every person that was singled out, will sue the city and the state for all it's worth. You do not abuse people's rights simply because a few people are getting sick. You don't suspend the Constitution. You don't suspend the Bill of Rights just because grandma's coughing in her bedroom. Because if this is the low bar we've set to suspending civil rights, if this is the low bar we've set to suspending the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, then what's next? A kid in Midtown Manhattan is constipated. Oh, no more rights for you. Honestly, it will not be tolerated. So, the next time you hear it's election day, but it's nice out and you were planning on going fishing, just remember, when pseudo-tyrants like Bill de Blasio get power, this is how they act. It will not be tolerated. 999. Oh, can you imagine the power couple that they'd make? Bill de Blasio and Whitmer from Michigan? That would be hilarity. De Blasio added, "My message to the Jewish community and all communities is this simple. The time for warnings is past.
I have instructed the NYPD to proceed immediately to summons or even arrest those who gather in large groups.
So, no more warnings for you. Bill de Blasio has spoken. Let that sink in, kiddies. No more warnings for you. Bill de Blasio has spoken, and your actions will not be tolerated. Now, in response to his idiocy, the World Jewish Congress President Ronald Lauder said that his organization should formally censure New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio for singling out the Jewish community in a series of tweets over violations of coronavirus restrictions. Last night, the mayor painted the Jewish community as lawbreakers and unconcerned about the city's public health. I agree with the mayor that social distancing is vitally important and last night's gathering was not appropriate, Lauder said. But to blame the entire Jewish community is the type of stereotyping that is dangerous and unacceptable at any time. So, yeah, that was their response. It cut to the bone, didn't it? Now, the question is this. Because the man, even in his limp-wristed response, made a good point. Would Bill de Blasio be as brave in sending such a tweet to, I don't know, the Muslim community? Would he be so quick to tweet out to the Islamic community? Chances are better than not that he wouldn't. Now, we talked about this briefly yesterday. The headlines are beef shortages and couple that with chicken shortages because, again, myopia. Look, it's going to get ugly if we continue playing politics with people's lives. It's going to get ugly if we continue keeping this thing shut down, even when we have no reason to. Worst auto sales in 30 years. That's one headline that I'm reading right off the ticker. You can't keep the world shut down forever. That's just unrealistic. Unless we spiral into a Mad Max sort of existence, we have to open up at some point. Me driving into the office this morning came with a certain percentage of risk. Somebody could have swerved into me. I could have hit a deer coming down the road. I could have gotten a flat tire and hit a bridge. Risky business driving the 15 minutes into the office, isn't it? Everything in life has some sort of risk. Unless you decide that you're going to live in a giant bubble, and servants will come and bring you your daily caloric intake. Everything comes with risk. However, even if you attempt to mitigate every risk in your life, at some point, you are going to die. I know, nobody wants to think about mortality anymore. Everybody's thinking, I want to live forever. And you will, just not here. Everyone dies. Now, the way I'm seeing this play out, the numbers that will die of starvation, if this keeps going for any considerable amount of time, is about 10 to 15 fold, as opposed to individuals who would succumb to complications from the coronavirus. Just let that sink in. I've run some numbers, and I think that's the ballpark, 10 to 15 times more. And that would truly be horrific, because it's something we did to ourselves. It's something that we initiated and instigated and perpetuated because we refuse to use reason. We refuse to use logic. We refuse to weigh the evidence at hand and draw conclusions based on it. No matter how quickly we open up, no matter how much enthusiasm some show to go back to work, because some are very comfortable being on unemployment because they think it'll last forever. What, an extra $600 a week plus unemployment? They weren't making that in the best of times. But see, that's going to run out soon. And the longer you let this thing sit idle, the harder it's going to be to rev it back up. So no matter how quickly we move, there's still going to be pain. There's still going to be lack. There's still going to be hunger. There's still going to be people getting foreclosed on because they can't say no foreclosures forever. It's not going to happen unless, again, we become a communist country. And if that happens, well, then you will see the true face of tyranny, because it's not going to be one roll of toilet paper per family anymore. It's going to be one box of crackers, one loaf of bread, two oranges, and one banana. This is your bag. Say thank you, sir. Because if you don't, the next time, you'll get kicked out of line. Because it's not Rhodes Scholars that are going to become part of the system. It's brutes. It's people who know how to bow their head. And because they have to bow their head to a superior, they expect everyone below them to do the same. I've lived this. I know this. I've seen it. I know the kind of beasts it creates. You're not going to want to live in it. But if you do nothing to try to stop it or mitigate it, guaranteed, it's what you're going to end up living in. It's scary how quickly we've come to this place and how little it took. And we should be able at this juncture to see how powerful propaganda can be. So the first thing we have to do is reject propaganda. Turn it off. Don't watch the things you know are used as vehicles to propagandize you with. If you hear one lie today and another lie tomorrow, chances are the day after you're going to hear another lie. So just turn it off. Use this time to, as the Word of God says, gird up your loins. Steel yourself. Prepare yourself spiritually first. Understand that there's no magic pill. There's no elixir. There's no Jesus bus coming to get you out before it gets really bad. And prepare your heart for that. because a lot of people will be caught unaware. A lot of people will be in shock due to the simple fact that they're still here seeing these things happening. And if you're not paralyzed by fear, if you're not in shock, if you can assess a situation and react immediately, then you're ahead of the pack by far. These are the days, children. And some people would hope that they continue forever, because the longer it lasts, the more power they can amass. And anytime someone has a vested interest in you continuing to be miserable, anytime someone has a vested interest in you continuing to be afraid, those people are not your friends. On the contrary, those people are your enemy. And with that, I thank you for listening to us. Hopefully next week we will be with you again. Still corona-free, but who knows? You know, apparently now everyone else has it except for me. I'm kidding, of course, but you get my humor now. Anyway, Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours. See you guys next week. God bless you, and be praying for us.
Election year, and I happen to be in Kenya, Africa, during the election year. And I'll tell you what, scary. There's a lot of similarities to what's going on this year and the year that my team was in Africa, literally during a crisis between two tribes. And now we've got a crisis between two political parties. There was social unrest. We've got social unrest. There was constitutional rights being manipulated and taken away. That's happening right now. And so, you know what, this situation is very much mirroring that. And I would go so far as to say that if this election would be, let's just say, stolen or, you know, fraudulently done, there's no doubt that some things could unwind very quick in America. And everything Dmitry Dudeman was shown by God would be coming true, is coming true, but would start taking place on a greater level. So I definitely urge the saints of God to take seriously that, as Mike said, we don't have to take on the loss of our constitutional rights. We can say, no, not going to do that. I'm not going to obey that. Like Mike said, I'm not going to Costco and be forced to wear a mask. And, you know, the church should not just roll over and let them tell us and push us around, do what they want us to do. The church has to stand up and say enough's enough, and people have to. And so, you know, this is a very much what I would call a very similar situation to what happened to us in Africa. And where it goes from here, God knows. But things are changing on a very quick level. This thing is very politicized. As Mike said, and I'll just be blunt about it, the Democrats who want to control and be in power, Democratic governors have been the ones trying to lock down their states the longest and the most. And so it could lead to some serious insurrection in America. And time to pray, time to seek God, and time to be awake and watching. Thank you for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.